Through 25 seasons, 4,561 episodes, I believe The Oprah Winfrey Show was one of the greatest classrooms in the world.
I really never thought of it that way.
The aha moments, the breakthroughs, the LOLs, the connections, the occasional ugly cry.
I miss him so terribly. I miss him every single minute.
The moments that mattered. The eye-opening life lessons.
Never allow them to take you somewhere else.
I'm bringing them back. It's time to open the vault. I've personally chosen these classic episodes to share with you again.
Every single person you ever will meet shares that common desire. They want to know, do you see me? Do you hear me? Does what I say mean anything to you?
You are listening to The Oprah Winfrey Show, the podcast.
So, it's a full circle moment for us today. I love those. Over 11 years ago, Ian LeVincent made her last Oprah Show appearance. And today, we're going to set the record straight about why she hasn't been back since. She was a force to be reckoned with, a relationship expert with some of the best no-nonsense, hard-hitting advice we'd ever heard. We've had hundreds of experts, as you've seen over the years, come and go, but few have captivated our audience like Iyanla.
Iyanla's back!
She charmed her way into our hearts with her humor and quick wit.
Don't ever say I'm broke. Say I am temporarily out of cash.
When you see crazy coming, cross the street!
Iyanla was a popular author, speaker, and spiritual coach when she took The Oprah Show by storm. Her hard-hitting lessons in love resonated with single women everywhere.
Men have antenna. And he put his antenna up, and he said, boy, she gonna suck the life out of me.
She helped our viewers to save themselves.
You know, women, you know, y'all breathe, like your money.
Breathe. Save yourself. Come on.
Words create experiences. Words are things. So when you say I can't, you won't. When you say I don't, you don't.
Iyanla was a real-life triumph over tragedy success story. She was abused, raped, a teenage mother, lived on welfare. She turned her life around by putting herself through law school and later launching a self-help empire.
She's so popular!
Iyanla sold more than 8 million books. In the meantime, and One Day My Soul Just Opened Up, both hit number one, and together spent an impressive 46 weeks on the New York Times bestsellers list. Iyanla changed lives and helped millions. Her message was simple. To live better, you gotta love yourself.
If you don't have a test, you won't have a testimony. And so when you have a challenge...
So Iyanla, Dr. Phil, and Susie Orman all started on this show around the same time. We were calling it, back then, Change Your Life TV. Millions of viewers tuned in every Tuesday for Iyanla Day, an hour of save yourself advice that made her popularity soar. Off camera, Iyanla's life was changing dramatically.
The first day that I arrived at Harpo, it was mind-blowing. It was absolutely mind-blowing. I walk on the stage for the first time, and we lock eyes. Heaven. Heaven.
We knew almost instantly that Iyanla was going to be a hit.
Oprah would give me the stage and go sit in the audience. Huge! Oprah Winfrey gives you the stage? Shut your mouth. I said, I'm sorry for taking over your show. She said, no, that's why we have you here.
Overnight, Iyanla became a household name.
I was so famous that people would pass out in the store, couldn't go anywhere, couldn't do anything.
And when she did go out, it seemed everyone wanted a one-on-one save yourself moment.
I had to stop traveling. I had to stop traveling alone because I missed so many planes. When somebody runs up to you in the airport and begins to tell you their life story, you can't say, excuse me, boo, as they're weeping on your bosom. You can't say, excuse me, boo, I got to go get a plane.
Welcome back, Iyanla!
I had no preconceived idea of what fame would be like. because I never thought I would be famous. Never thought it would happen. I just wanted to do my work. Hell, I just wanted to pay my rent on time. After being on Oprah for a couple of months, I got my first royalty check for $1,478,392.17. I will never forget it. At the height of my career, I made $3.3 million. Unbelievable. From welfare in the projects to $3.3 million. The success and the fame was bigger than anything that I ever imagined for myself personally. I was living my dream. It was unbelievable.
Iyanla, in my mind, was on the same path as Dr. Phil. And like Phil, our intention here at Harpo was to help Iyanla launch her own show. But after a year and a half of regular appearances, my relationship with Iyanla ended in an instant. Take a look.
Things were going absolutely great. Everything was really moving at a wonderful pace.
In the summer of 1999, Iyanla says she received a handwritten note from a powerful television executive who said she was very impressed by her work on The Oprah Show.
I didn't know it at the time, but this executive was a representative of Barbara Walters.
Iyanla says when she called to thank her, she offered to fly her to New York for dinner.
Went to the dinner, met Ms. Walters and a few other executives from that network. They offered me an opportunity to do my own show.
At the time, Harpo was already in talks with Iyanla about eventually developing her own show.
So imagine, you know, homegirl from Brooklyn and the two most powerful women in television are now present in my world. Talk about fry your brain cells. I turned them down flat. Absolutely not. I never really felt torn between the two offers because I was very clear I wasn't leaving Harpo.
But Iyanla says the offer from Barbara Walters started weighing heavily on her mind.
It made me think maybe it is time for me to do my own show.
So Iyanla set up a meeting here in Chicago.
I went to Oprah and her executive producer at the time. I said that someone in television, the way I phrased it was someone big in television, had made me an offer, that I had turned it down, but that I had reconsidered and wanted to know if Harpo would be willing to do my show now instead of waiting until later. About 2 weeks after that conversation, I got a call from the attorney at Harpo, who said, basically, take the deal. What deal? Well, it's clear that you're going in a direction that Harpo isn't, and we wish you well. It was a nice way of saying, we don't want you back. So whereas 2 weeks before, I'm standing between the two most powerful women in television, now I don't have a deal with this network, and I'm no longer welcome on The Oprah Show. Damn.
So for years, there have been rumors swirling around that Iyanla and I had a big falling out. So today, we're going to talk about that, and I'm going to tell you from my point of view what really happened. No holds barred. We didn't speak for years, and now Iyanla has a new book. And in it, she candidly talks about what happened between us from her point of view. It's called Peace from Broken Pieces. So let's welcome back, after 11 years, Iyanla Van Zandt.
God bless. God bless.
Now that's up. God bless. So this has been a circuitous meeting here.
Yes.
I saw an ad, a small ad for your book, Peace from Broken Pieces, and I was struck by the title.
Okay.
And on my, I keep on my desk a blue card every day of people to call, and for the past, like, 2 months, every day, it's call Iyanla, call Iyanla, call Iyanla, and I hadn't done it. So I thought this would be a good time to talk about peace from broken pieces?
Well, let me start right here. Let me just put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. I have always loved you and had nothing but positive regard for you. And I am now so sorry. Mm. I am aware of how my behavior and my choices could have appeared to you and been experienced by you as betrayal. Please forgive me. Please. That was not my intention, ever. And at the bottom line, Oprah, I think it boils down to people thought I knew things that I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, let me say to you, I accept your apology. No apology necessary. You were already forgiven. You were already forgiven, and that is why you're here. I wanted you in this chair to tell you that you were already forgiven. You've written me over the years several letters. When you wrote me the first letter, you were forgiven. This is, from my point of view, what happened. When you called that meeting and said you wanted to speak with me and Diane Hudson, who was the executive producer at the time, Diane and I both left that meeting like this, like, whoa, what was that? Because we had never produced anybody in a show before, but had plans, as you know, because we'd had the meeting with you. We'd also had a meeting with Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because both of you started at the same time and were basically on the same track. And our intention was to develop that show in the time that we felt that we could develop that show. For you as well as for Dr. Phil. So when you came to me and Diane, and I remember this distinctly, you said that you'd been fasting for 8 days.
Yes, 7 days.
7 days, okay. And that you had fasted and prayed, and that God had spoken to you, and that God told you that this is the anointed time, not the appointed time.
That's right.
The anointed time, that stuck in my mind, the anointed time and not the appointed time. And my feeling was, and Diane was all, well, we were planning and you were, and I said, I am not going to go against God.
Right.
If God has told Iyanla that this is the anointed time, then we need to back off and give her the freedom and the wherewithal to do that. I am not gonna stand in her way. And that's why you got the call to say, you know, and at the time, we didn't even know it was Barbara Walters. We didn't know it was Barbara Walters.
But I didn't have a deal at the time. That's what was so confusing to me.
No, but you left us with the impression. I'm telling you, because otherwise, if I thought you could have been talked into it, because we had a big conversation about, should we try to talk her into it? We had a conversation about, because you said, somebody big. And I said, or one of us said big, and you said, yeah, really big. So we left the meeting going, well, who is the really big person? So I was thinking, is it Telepictures? Is it Sony? Is it whatever? I wasn't thinking of a person. And so I thought, you have this really big opportunity. I wasn't even angry. I was thinking, okay, I don't know what your show would have developed into.
So let me get to that point.
Okay.
And then we'll go from there.
Okay.
Okay. So here I am on Oprah every other Tuesday.
And I gave you the stage.
You know, there's something crazy that a pill can't fix.
I gave you the stage.
There's something crazy that a pill can't fix.
Okay, 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 okay.
Don't need to even discuss that level of crazy.
Okay, okay.
But hear me,
Okay.
So I'm here every Tuesday. Minding my business.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get this call. I didn't know who it was at first either until I get to the plaza and I go to the dinner. Now, Oprah, from welfare to the projects to dinner, lunch with Oprah and dinner with Barbara Walters.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Do you?
I really do.
I mean, do you really?
I really do.
I talk about fry of the brain cell in the eyeball and the...
Okay. Because Barbara holds that thing for me, too.
Yes.
You know, I credit my being in this business because of Barbara Walters. So I understand
okay.
if Barbara Walters calls you, that will get all of your cells.
Yeah. That's why I went to pray and fast.
Yeah.
And my best friend knows, everybody knows, I mean, I was fried. And when we went to the dinner, I told her, no. I said, I'm not leaving Harpo. So I talked to my attorney.
And, but this is all perfunctory because inside, it's a freaking train wreck going on. So I did the prayer and the fasting. And what I heard was, this is the anointed time. Mm-hmm. The time is now. And I'm like, the time is now for what? To do your own show. Mm-hmm. Now, we had had a conversation, and you asked me, very frankly, she asked me, she said, do you want to do your show now, or do you want to stay and grow? I said, I want to stay and grow.
Right.
And that's where we were in the conversation.
Right.
Even had that conversation with Gail. Right. Gail said, girl, don't let them people talk you out of here. I said, I'm not. Huh. So when they asked the question, no, straight out. So I did the prayer and the fasting, but here's what I bumped into. I was afraid. I was afraid to stand on my own. So here's this opportunity now to stand on my own. Let me go back and say to you, I don't want to wait. Let's do it now.
Yeah.
That was my intention.
So let me just tell you what I heard from that conversation. Mm-hmm. What I heard, and I know what, well, my staff was angry. I don't express anger and don't get angry because I always feel even if a guest doesn't want to come on the show and somebody's pushing and they want them on the show, they know not to put me on the phone with the person because I'm going to go, if you don't want to come, don't come. The lesson I learned in my 20s from waiting on the phone and waiting for him to call and not showing up and all that stuff is if you don't want me,
I'm not going to let myself want you.
I'm not going to. Thank you, Iyanna. That's the lesson.
I get that.
Get that. So what I heard you say that resonated with me so strongly was anointed time, not the appointed time. I am ready. We said, Diane Hudson and I, but we're not ready. First of all, we were in the middle of a book season. We're in the middle of rating. We got all that to do. We can't now drop everything that we're doing to try now get on the track with you.
What did I expect you to?
What I thought you were saying to me is that this isn't about you deciding the time because God has told me that the time is now.
Oh, Lord, just scratch my eye out with a plastic fork.
No.
I would not say that to you,
no,
Oprah Winfrey.
But what does anointed time and not appointed time mean?
It didn't mean in that moment. It just meant for that I was, excuse me for spitting on you.
No, but what is it? what does that mean? You said I have fasted.
I don't know what it meant. I was crazy. I needed a pill or something. I don't know. What it meant, Oprah Winfrey. I was not telling you to just drop your book club and your show and everything and just do a show for me. I just wanted you to say you liked me and you never did.
But I will say that is absolutely, I will not accept that. I will not accept that as where I was in my heart because I had offered, not only did I like you, I would leave the stage and give you the stage because I liked you so much.
Can you hear? I didn't know that. Can you hear?
But what did you think that meant? What did you think that meant? What did you think that meant when I am sitting in the audience and letting you sit on stage and run the show?
I hadn't worked hard enough for it. I hadn't struggled hard enough for it.
But that
I couldn't even receive it.
But this is...
I couldn't receive it, Oprah. I couldn't recognize it. I didn't even know what it was. You gotta hear that. You gotta hear that, Oprah. I didn't even know what it was. I thought you wanted the work. I didn't think you wanted me.
Oh, my God. I got it. 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 What we said back to you, what I and Diane, as I recall, said back to you, and I purposely didn't call Diane to discuss this because I wanted it to be what my view of it was, is that we, too, didn't think you were ready at the time.
But you didn't say that to me.
Yeah, we did. We said, we're not ready. We don't think you're ready.
No, you didn't say...
We don't think you're ready.
You didn't say, girl, come in. Iyanla, you ain't ready to do no darn television. You can't even figure out how to comb your hair. Sit down, twist yourself down somewhere. Why didn't you say that to me? You just said out of your mouth, we weren't ready. But nobody ever said, Iyanla, you ain't ready, girl.
No, but what we were saying to you is we were not ready to do that show at the time.
But because
this is what we said. We said, we think you need more time. We said that to you.
No, you said that to my lawyer. Ain't nobody said that to me.
We think you need more time.
Nobody said that to me.
We think you need more time because that's why we weren't ready to develop the show then.
Nobody said that to me.
We didn't think Phil was ready then. We waited another year. But I know that that is the message you got.
Let me just say that. I didn't.
No, but this is the bottom line. This is only the bottom line for me.
What
the reason why I didn't push against it is because you were emphatic that you had fasted and prayed.
I had.
And that God had spoken to you.
And he had.
And I said to the lawyers, to the staff, to all of those people, let her go. Let her go. Let's not put up this fight to try
but
to hold her.
But you didn't hear me say I don't want to leave Harper. You didn't hear that.
No, I heard you say somebody really big is interested in me.
But you didn't hear me say that part.
And you said, no, what you were saying is, this is how I see it, Iyanla. You were saying, I am ready to develop my show now because somebody really big is interested in me.
Uh-huh.
And God has told me that this is the anointed time.
Wow.
So are you ready to do it? We say, no, we're not ready to do it now. So if you're not ready to do it, I have somebody really big who is interested in me and wants to do a show, and God has told me that this is the anointed time. That was just enough
isn't
for me.
Isn't that interesting?
That was enough for me.
And this is what happens when there's incomplete conversations.
Yeah.
And this is what happens when we make assumptions about what people were saying.
Were you not saying to me, though, let's just clarify this. Were you not saying to us, I want to do this show and I want to do it now? In my own time, because God has told me this is the time.
I think that I was saying I want to do my own show now with you. But I wasn't making it, if you don't do it, I'm going with that.
Well, it certainly felt
that is
like
not, well,
it.
That's,
certainly
and let me tell you what it felt like
an
me.
Ultimatum. It felt like an ultimatum. It felt like
wow.
somebody really big. And we're like, big? Who's really big? We're giving you the show.
Well, now, let me tell you something.
We're giving you the stage.
Let me tell
20
you something.
Times, yeah?
Isn't that amazing? Now, let me tell you what it felt like to me. That again, I'm caught up between the two most powerful women in
That's because you know
television.
Who the really big is.
Yeah.
I don't even know who.
That's what my friend told me. When I told my friend, who's an EP in television, mm-hmm. you gotta understand, I am Nell from the country one step out of coveralls. Okay? I'm good at what I do,
yeah.
but this is a vicious animal, this
fame.
This not
all
fame.
All of it.
This industry.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
vicious. And I mean, you're moving
quick. I know that.
Okay, so.
That is why I know that. That is why I was trying to nurture you.
Okay.
That's why I was trying to support you.
I didn't hear that.
That is why I was trying to grow you. That is why I was saying I
think
you should wait.
It wasn't said.
I know that.
It wasn't said to me. So let me tell you. So here's your thing. And I got that. I said, oh my Jesus, she thinks that I'm doing this and
that's why I took, you know,
Not
4 years with
finish.
Phil. No, I gotta say this. That's why I took 4 years with Phil.
I'm gonna be wounded and emotionally damaged all over
and
again.
Almost 8 years with Oz because he wasn't ready.
But nobody
yet.
Said that to me.
Okay. Well, because what I really said and should have said to you to your face, but in my own mind, I was saying, God didn't tell me it was the anointed time.
Right.
And I'm talking to God, too.
Right.
I didn't fast, but God tell... You know, I have a feel for this kind of development, and I didn't feel that that was the time. But I respected... I did it out of respect and honor for you.
I didn't get that. I didn't get that. I
didn't
get it. No, I didn't. Oprah, do you know...
And then when I heard it was Barbara Walters, I thought, God bless you, because it's Barbara. So Barbara... You know, has the same esteem. I hold the same esteem for her as you did. So I think, okay, that'll
when
be great.
When I said somebody big in television, I didn't want you to think that it was Boo Boo and Cootie with the videotape. I really, you know.
Yeah, because I get that.
I didn't want you, that's why I said it was somebody really big in television that made me even consider leaving Harper. That was my sole purpose. Now, when I told my friend, who's an EP about it, he said, oh God, what did you? I said, what? He said, girl, it sounds to me, and I'm sure it sounds to her like you trying to protect your deal over here and force her into a deal.
Yes.
I said, that wasn't even in my consciousness. It wasn't even in my consciousness.
You are Iyanla Van Zandt. How could that not be in your consciousness?
It was not.
How could you not know that you're saying those words to me?
Because I did lecture, workshop, class, public speak, don't know dit nor doodly about television. You are at least, you know this industry.
Yes, but
And a little jadedness, come on now, because...
No. I'm not going to accept that.
Okay, wait a minute.
What I accept is that you knew what you were doing when you walked into that room and that you had the intention to force our hand.
Absolutely not.
That is not true?
No, absolutely not. So on the soul of my dead child, I will say absolutely not.
You were not coming into that meeting to get us to make a decision for doing a show for you?
Yes, but not with that connotation of do it now or I'm going here. Not because they asked me, now you do it. Absolutely not. And that's the jaded part.
Okay.
You didn't understand, and I said this to you in the letter, you didn't know that I am who I say I am. Crazy as hell, but I am who I say I am.
So, okay,
you understand?
So tell me...
I just wanted you to know. See, when we said wait, remember, we were in negotiations. We hadn't even gotten to the end of negotiations. When I said I would wait to do the deal, I didn't even have a time frame.
You mean with Barbara?
No, with you.
Okay.
We were in negotiations.
Right.
We had said I was going to do every other Tuesday. Because the question was, do you want to do your show now? You asked me the question.
Yes.
Do you want to do your show now, or do you wait and want to wait and develop? I said I wanted to wait and develop. So now that I'm coming back to you to renegotiate that, I want to do my show now. In my brain, Oprah had no idea what now meant. Now to me didn't mean Tuesday, next month. Now to me meant whatever the process was.
What did anointed time mean?
Means to stand up in this opportunity to do my show with Oprah.
What did anointed time and not appointed time mean?
Meaning that I wasn't, for me, making it up in my brain. That it was time for me to stand up. But Oprah, there was so much other stuff going on, you understand? And I think all things are lessons that God would have us learn. I know that now. I think everything unfolded exactly the way it needed to unfold because I needed to understand and learn how to receive and not to know that I don't have to scratch and claw and dig and work my way through everything because that was my pathology. You were giving me something and I couldn't see it, hear it, receive it. So I had to set it up that I would go over there with Boo Boo and Kafada and work like Kizzy before Chicken George was free. Have to have it. Now, do you want to give me something today?
No.
Okay, because I'm healed.
Iyanla eventually got $1 million TV contract with Barbara Walters and Buena Vista Television to host the Iyanla Show. And so you speak about that very candidly in the book. What was that like? I looked up and... I looked up one day and I saw your hair done and you walking out in a sweater and I went, oh, Lord, what happened here?
That's what I said, oh, Lord, what happened here?
What happened?
Here's what happened.
What happened?
Here's the bottom line. What had happened was I had a historical pattern of aligning myself with people who treat me badly. That's what happened at the bottom line. You were too good to me. Couldn't even see it. Because it was what I was healing, Oprah. Mm. Had nothing to do with you or them. It was what I had to heal.
Had nothing even to do with them.
No, it was me. Then that's what happened at the core.
Because this is what I feared, is that, you know, you have a specialty that needed to be nurtured and respected and honored in its space for what you do and how you offer that. And so what I feared was that you would go to whoever the big person was, I didn't know, and that they wouldn't understand that.
They didn't want it. They didn't care about it.
And then what happens is that everybody tries to model whatever after what they think I am doing.
Now, that part of it wasn't about you.
Okay.
The bottom, they had already won. Their goal was to get me away from you. That was the goal. I'm sorry.
And that's what you believe?
That's what I believe. That's what I believe. That's what I lived. That's what I experienced. I don't even think it was conscious. And it wasn't even personal. It wasn't to get me from you so you wouldn't have me. It was to get me from you so they could have me for what they wanted me for. My pattern. People didn't want me for me. They wanted me for what I could offer. That's what they wanted. And they didn't want you to have it.
My so hero. How were you treated? You speak
ooh,
about it in the book. What?
You know, just the thought about it, it just sends shivers to me. Let me not say how was I treated, because I wasn't a victim. What kind of treatment did I accept? What did I allow?
Okay.
What did I accommodate? What did I tolerate? Let me put it this way.
Okay, good.
$27 million television show, and I didn't have an office. I had a place
just
in
went,
the
ooh.
Hallway. I didn't have an office.
Why? Because you allowed that to happen.
Because I allowed it. I accepted it. I tolerated it. I had 6 producers, and I had been told that I would be involved in the hiring of the producers. I should have had a clue when they told me I can't bring my producer with me, because, see, they didn't even have to hire the producer. I had that producer. Let me bring him with me and save y'all some time and some insurance money. And so, anyway, I should have had a clue. I didn't have a clue. So I get there, the 6 producers, none of them could say my name, and not one of them had read my books.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this is my experience. They couldn't say my, I said, okay, no problem. I called back home to Maryland. I said, send the books up here for the people to read them.
But did you realize
crazy?
Yeah. Did you?
Crazy?
Did you understand in that moment that you were in deep trouble?
No.
Because the people don't even know who you are.
I didn't, Oprah, listen, when you don't know, you don't know.
Okay.
I didn't even know what to ask for. What I knew was that it didn't feel good, it was painful, but Oprah, it was familiar. Hear me, it was familiar. It was familiar. It was home for me. As bad as it felt, it was home for me. So I was willing.
Because you're used to being treated.
I was used to being treated bad. I was so familiar to it. It was home. I didn't like it. It was painful. My friends can tell you, sometime I would come home, I'd get off and just go in the office and put my head down in anybody's lap and just weep, and get up Monday, and I would go right back. Yeah, because I got the television show. I was scared to speak up. Oprah, you know what that looks like behind the scenes. You all don't know. Because you have 80 people, you can't do that. Don't say that. I mean, I should have had a clue when they said to me, we need to do something with your hair because, you look a little hard on the camera edge. And what did I do? I went and did something with my hair. Yeah, oh yeah, just a little, I mean, it looked nice and everything, but that ain't neon look. You saw my little chicken hair,
So you were canceled after 1 season.
I wasn't canceled. I just, they canceled it.
Yes. Yes.
But I want you to know what led up to that.
What led up to it?
I wrote a 6-page document because what I realized was these people were not aligned with my vision. Mm-hmm. I did have a vision, out one eye. Mm-hmm. So I had the vision, the one-eye vision. Because I couldn't see me, I could only see the work.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote this document saying, this is my vision. And in order for me to stay there, here, this is what has to happen. This has to happen. Lord, the Negress is awake. Oh, the Negress is up! Hey, hello!
She's awake. So what was on your list? What was on your vision list? What were the things you were asking
that
for?
That we had to have a clear intention and direction for the show.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, I teach spiritual principle. I teach spiritual law and principle. That's what I do. That's who I be. That's what I am. And we need to teach spiritual law and principle. They kept telling me we was going to teach spiritual law and principle. And then they'd give me another plate of almonds and another makeover and another dog to kiss. And I said, I'm not doing this anymore. Then when they wanted me to have the guest in to teach you how to get the egg off the linoleum, I said, I ain't doing that. And they said, well, we can't have you here. And I said, well, I don't want to be here.
Were you afraid?
Not then. I was pissed off. No. I won't stand no more. But it was really, I didn't think I could call you. I wanted to.
I wanted to so, so badly. I didn't think I could.
You could have called me, and I would have said, you need to go back to being yourself, because you can never... I would have read some Ayanla quotes to you.
I needed it.
I would have read some Ayanla quotes to you and said, you know, until you... One of my favorites is, until you heal your past, you will continue to bleed and bleed and bleed.
Well, this is, you know, but now this is DNA stuff coming up for me now.
Yeah.
That's really what it was, because the surface stuff I had worked through. I had to go through that, Oprah, to be able to be who I am today.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I really had to.
And that is the piece, P-E-A-C-E.
From the broken pieces.
From broken pieces.
Because if you even look like you had a thought last Tuesday about treating me bad, you can't come near me.
Really?
Can't come near me. Get the garlic. but I had to do it.
So in all of that, you know, I think we all teach what we most need to learn. And that in all of those, you know, 20 different sessions that you had, and they were spiritual teachings on this show, because I control my show. I can do what I want to do. And so that's what I wanted you to do, was to be yourself. And when you realized that you weren't going to be allowed to be yourself, did you then feel humiliated?
No.
That you were not being allowed to be yourself?
I felt like, oh, damn. Girl, you done messed up. You done messed up. We got a problem. You got to get up out of here. You know? And then it started... This is why you needed to stay at Oprah. This is why you needed to do this. This is why. And then my best friend, Shahira, you know, I know it must have been painful for her. Because, you know, Shahira loves me. And sometimes you see your friend just acting a fool. You can't say that. So then she tells me, now I done suffered and gouged my eyes. She said, well, I never really wanted you to leave Oprah.
Ayanna's new book is called Peace. From Broken Pieces. I thank you for being here today.
I thank you for having me.
I heard you.
Thank you.
All is forgiven.
Thank you.
All is forgiven. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to The Oprah Winfrey Show, the podcast. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Oprah Show, the podcast. And I thank you for listening.